Who's excited? Yes. It's good. You know, being a mum is the most underrated job, underpaid, overtaxing job on the planet. So today, I not only want to celebrate motherhood, but I want to crown each of you mums as what you really are, super mums. And so I sort of put this little graphic together. You sort of look a little bit like that at times, but you really are a super mum, okay? Mums become super mums. You probably say, you know, my favourite superhero is Superman because he was the original and he's super. And but to become a super mum, you don't become a super mum by being born on the planet Krypton, and you're not able to leap tall buildings at a single bound, although some of you may, but you become a super mum by the things that you say and do. So we're going to start today's super proceedings by hearing some words of wisdom from super mum. I mean, how many of you know that when mum speaks, you should listen? A few of you know that. You've known it for years. Listen to some of these. I thought some of these quotes were good, some of these words of wisdom from certain mothers. Silence is golden. Unless you have kids, then it's suspicious. Do you like that? Those of you with little kids will relate to that. Phyllis Diller once said, I want my children to have all the things in life I couldn't afford, then I want to move in with them. Some of you are living that one out, by the way. Irma Bombeck said, when your mother asks you if you want a piece of advice, it's a formality. Whatever you answer, you're going to get it. One mum said, my kids call it yelling when I raise my voice, but I call it motivational speaking for selective listeners. Some of you can take that one home. Another mother one time said, my nickname is Mum, but my real name is Mum, 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 Mum. I read also, behind every mum is a basket of dirty laundry. I like this one too. My house isn't messy, it's custom designed by a two-year-old. Now, this is a word of wisdom that I think even my wife would agree with this one. By the time a woman realises her mother was right, she has a daughter who thinks she's wrong. Is that true? Sometimes. And I thought I'd finish with this one. It's not a quote from a mum, but it's from the I don't know how to describe him, Benjamin Spock. How would you describe him? Some sort of an expert? Self-appointed expert. He said this, one of the few true things he said. There are only two things a child will share willingly, communicable diseases and their mother's age. So there you go, words of wisdom about mothers. So I want to zero in now on a mother's faith. See, a super mum's superpower. Everyone knows that a super mum has that your main superpower when you're a super mum, your main superpower is love, right? We know that. But there's another superpower that generates into, and that's faith. Now, if you look at Hebrews 11 the whole of the chapter of Hebrews 11, it's the great chapter listing all the heroes of the faith. What did they have in common? Was faith. That's what made them superheroes, was faith. Faith fueled by love causes super mums to do extraordinary things. To believe in you even when you fail. To never stop believing you or never stop wanting the best for you. And I mean, some of you have pretty torrid relationships with your children, some of you mums, but you never stop wanting the best for them, do you? Is that right? Yeah. See, Scripture has many examples of faithful mums. Mums who made a difference in the lives of their children and even in the world in which they live. I mean, think of Moses' mother. Moses' mum is one example, placing him in the basket in the bulrushes, then becoming his nanny when the Pharaoh's daughter adopted him. That's pretty awesome. That's an incredible superpower for a mum. Think of Rahab, who saved her family. Think of Mary, Elizabeth, Hannah, even Deborah, who was described as a mother in Israel. She you know, did incredible things and got a great victory over a fellow called Sisera. But today I want to show you one mother's superpower that's recorded in Matthew chapter 15. If you've got your Bible, open to Matthew chapter 15. Because this is an incredible example of the superpower of faith, where a Canaanite woman is saved and she seeks help for her daughter who is being oppressed by a demon. And the background of this passage, you've got to know a little bit about Jewish culture for this particular story. But the background of this passage is that there were Jews and there were Gentiles. And most of the Gentiles they were dealing with were sort of remnants of the tribes that they didn't knock out of play years before. So when Israel went into the land, they dislodged some of the tribes, but some of them they didn't. And so what happened was those tribes had sort of interbred a little bit with Jews, and they were sort of, they called them Gentiles. So the Jews were very sort of uppity about that. We're Jews, but you're only a Gentile. And there's this incredible dichotomy between the two, you know, the various races. So that's the background to what's going on. Jews, when they looked at Gentiles, they just thought, you're a dog. That's what they thought of him. You're a dog. You're lower than a wombat's basement. You don't care. You don't matter in life. And so that's the background of what's going on here. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Have a look at this. We'll read it. As Jesus went away from there, he withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon, which is outside of normal Jewish territory, into Gentile territory. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her. So Jesus actually ignored her at the start. And the disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." The disciples were put out. Who is this? Go away. You're annoying. How many of you have said that about people who've asked you stuff? You know, that's how they felt. And Jesus said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Isn't that a beautiful story? But you think Jesus could be a little bit harsh here, calling her a dog. I don't enjoy being called a dog, do you? No? Good. Well, today's super mums, I want to concentrate on developing this superpower of faith that is within you for the salvation of your children. And I want to talk about developing that superpower, not just relation to your children, but for some of you, it's a spouse that is an unbelieving spouse. For some of you, it's your parents. For some of you, it's your friends. But particularly, we want to concentrate on Mother's Day, on your children. You see, we see this story. And the woman, she had plenty of obstacles, but she stood in the gap for her child. And as I share around this passage, just take a moment, mums, to think about your own kids and think about where they're at. Because I want you to concentrate on that as we go through this story, because I believe that there will be, you know, the start of salvation for many as a result of this. So let's have a look at this mother's incredible superpower of faith. Number one, her mother's faith, or a mother's faith, made her take a chance. The Canaanite woman knew that everything was against her. Racially, everyone hated her. The social stigmas of the time. Certainly her race was against her. She was a Gentile. Her sex was against her because most of the Jewish rabbis of the time paid little attention to women. And it seemed that the disciples were against her. When they approached her, they said, get out of here, woman. Leave us alone. And it seemed also that maybe even Christ might have been against her with what he said. We'll get to that in a minute. So she could have said, okay, everybody's against me, fair enough. I'm pulling out. I'm a dog. That's the way it is. She could have said that. It's all too hard. But hey, we're talking about her daughter here. And she loved her daughter so much that she decided not to give up on her child. And neither should you. If you're looking at your kids and you're thinking, oh man, my kids are, you know, this, that and the other, making all these crazy decisions that you don't agree with, don't give up on them. That's the first thing I'd say. Be persistent. Don't give up on them. And sometimes we look at people that we love and they're not walking with the Lord, and it all seems too hard. They're doing things that we don't approve of. They're making decisions that we don't like. And we can see how many of you know sometimes your kids, especially as they grow up, they make decisions, and you can see the consequences of those decisions barreling down on top of them, and you can't stop it. Anybody here relate to that? And I want to tell you to not give up. They might be breaking your heart. They might be not listening now. They might even be attacking you or pulling away from you now, but don't give up. This super mum we're looking at in the story, she took a chance. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Sure, our wayward kids may seem distant from us now. They may be ignoring our advice or rebelling or whatever, but the faith of a mother is worth much. This super mum won the day because, you know, she just said, I'm going to take a chance for my daughter. And she took a chance and trusted God for her daughter's salvation. The second thing is, a mother's faith asks the tough questions. Now, this mother, her faith drove her to ask questions. Others may accuse you of being pushy or overbearing. Have you ever been accused of being pushy with your kids? Never? You can repent of that afterwards, Sarah. Because I think all of us have at some point. You know, but sometimes asking a simple question will make people think. Sometimes even just a look will suffice. How many of you know that a mother has a look? This is another superpower. It's a look. It's like an evil eye, but it's a look. And I know when I did stuff wrong, my mum didn't have to say anything. She just looked. And I went, ooh. This is incredible superpower. She can reprimand me and curdle milk with the same look. I tell you, it's terrifying. And mums are good at that sort of stuff. So trust me, guys, you cannot fool mums. Is that right? I mean, mums know. Kids, I'm telling you, mums know. Mums have a wider field of view than dads do. They have eyes in the back of their head. They see everything, hear everything, and they read between the lines all the time. And trust me, I'm married to a mother and a psychotherapist. And she looks between the lines. She's more psycho than therapist at times, but she looks between the lines and she tells me how I'm feeling before I'm feeling what I'm feeling. It's terrifying. How does she know this? It's a superpower. It really is. It's a superpower. So this Canaanite mom called out to God and asked the question. In Matthew 15, 22, it says this, "Behold, the Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.'" So speaking to Jesus, she addressed him as the Lord. And what you don't know culturally is that was a big thing. When she called him Lord, the son of David, that's a title which only the Jews would use in speaking of the Messiah. Although Jesus was the son of David, a Gentile had no right to approach him on that basis. And that's why he didn't answer at first, because she called him in a Jewish way, even though she's a Gentile. There's all this stuff you kind of don't know going on in the background. So she actually had no right to approach him, but she did it anyway. And that's the thing. Sometimes mothers might seem pushy, but they're doing it because they ask the tough questions and they push through because they love their children. And you know, moms, I'm going to tell you today, if you have kids that aren't walking with the Lord, it's time to step up and be pushy about it. Is that right? It's time to step up and say, Lord, I'm going to bring this request to you and believe you for my kids' salvation. The third thing is, this mother suffered, mother's faith suffered attack. And how many of you know, you might not feel like Supermom, but listen, if you step out and ask God for stuff, and you step out in faith, expect opposition. You might get it from your kids. You might get it from their dad, from their partners, from their friends, from somebody. You will find your own feelings. You will attack yourself at times and doubt that God even hears you. And it might even come from people in the church, well-meaning people who say things to you but actually hurt you because you've stepped out in faith and they're actually attacking that. In verse 23 and 24, it says this, "He did not answer her at her word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is crying after us.' And he answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" Now, the disciples didn't want them around. And so they thought that that maybe even Jesus wanted her gone. She was a pain in the neck. She was getting embarrassing. She was all this sort of stuff. But she stayed. And how many of you know that great mums stay, don't they? Sometimes they stay too long. Is that right? If you've ever had one visit you, sometimes they stay too long. But they always stay. They don't give up real easy. They love us and they often stick around despite opposition. Now, super mums, when you face attack, you need to react like this mother did. And she comes to him and she says, "Lord, help me." And mums, I encourage you to just get real and honest today with the Lord this morning. Today is Mother's Day and I sense the heart of God for faithful super mums right now. So let's get real and let's bring our kids and say, "Lord, help me." Our kids, our grandkids, whatever it is, say, "Lord, help me. Bring my children to you." And remember, motherhood is a tough job. When you face opposition all the time, it gets even tougher. And if you want to be great, if you want to influence others, you've got to get ready. Trust me, every time you stick your head above the parapet, somebody is going to attack you. But if you don't do it, you'll never move ahead. The fourth thing is, a mother's faith was tested without offense. This is really interesting because Jesus decided to probe her faith a little bit. And that's why he said in verse 26, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now, you might think that's a little harsh, but you need to look at it in context. You see, he wasn't having a shot at her. This was actually a compliment, believe it or not. A little bit of Hebrew understanding comes in handy. You have to remember, this mum wasn't a Jew, she was a Gentile. And the Jews looked at Gentiles and said, they're just like dogs. And the word that the Jews used for Gentiles indicates a dog with rabies, like a dog on the street, mangy, horrible. If you've ever seen those sorts of dogs out there, they're just wild and uncouth. But the word that Jesus used is a word that is reserved for little pet puppies. So he wasn't saying, you're a horrible, mangy, rabid dog. He was saying, you're like a little pet puppy. But he was playing on that whole Jews calling Gentiles dog thing. So the question was, would she take offense at being called a little puppy? Or would she acknowledge her unworthiness to receive the least of his mercies? See, one of the great tragedies I see in families around about is a lot of mums who get hurt by their children, then they take offense. And it is so easy to take offense. Even when your kids apologize, sometimes you just freeze them out, you know? You know what I'm talking about. So super mums, you have to listen to me. You do not need to take offense at anything your kids say or do, even if you hate what they do. We've talked about this in the context of our society, and there are, you know, the Israel Folau thing and all that sort of stuff being attacked for what he said. And I'm telling you, just because I love someone doesn't mean I have to agree with everything they do. Okay? And so I have some friends who are homosexuals, and I love them and I treat them with respect, but I don't agree with everything they do. And it's the same for you as a super mum. You may not agree with everything your children do. You may look at them and say, man, that is so against what I believe. But see, you've got to separate whether you agree with them or not and whether you love them. You see, if you drive them away, if you get offended by what they do and drive them away, you can't reach them anymore. You've driven them out. So we've had even occasions in our family where we've said, okay, you know, like, I don't agree with what you're doing to one of our children, but we will love. My love for you is unconditional. And that way that keeps the pathway open of being able to reach them. I'd rather be offended and see my kids saved and see them close than feel justified and drive them away. Wouldn't you? That should be a superpower we have. So often we believe things so strongly, we believe things so vehemently that we will drive away others and offend others because of our beliefs. And as I often say, if you love people more than you love your pet doctrine or opinion or belief, then we will have unity in the church, in your home. But if you love your opinion and what you, if you're so revved up and vehement about your opinion and you value your opinion more than you value other people, you'll have disunity because you've elevated your opinion above your love for others. We will never have disunity in church if we love each other more than our doctrinal slant or more than our belief or more than things that, you know, and we can believe it with all our heart. But we don't have to agree together to be in unity. In your family, you don't have to agree with everyone to be in unity. But you have to love each other more than you love your opinions. That's a key one. So if your children do something you don't approve of, how many has that happened to? All of us. Then you need to love them unconditionally. If you stand so aggressively for what you believe and drive them away, you may never get them back. You know? So if our kids do something we don't like or approve of, we say, listen, we don't approve of that. Because love isn't saying, yeah, I love you and approve of everything you do. That's what the world tells you. That's rubbish. How many of you with young kids know that you might love your kids, but you don't agree with everything they do? You know, and it's the same as they get older. So you can say, I don't agree with what you've done, but my love for you is unconditional. I will never stop loving you. I will never stop believing in you. That's a superpower right there. The fifth thing is, a mother's faith persisted. You see, this mum could have taken offense and crawled away, that, you know, insulted that Jesus spoke that way. But because her superpower was faith, she saw the big picture. She saw eternity rather than what was going on around her. We talked about this last week. She had eyes for what would last forever, not just on the here and now. And so she looked at it and she said, well, regardless of what he said, I got my eyes on the big picture. I want my daughter to be set free. And so that's what she persisted. Matthew 15:27, She said this, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the master's table." So in these few words, this super mum was humbling herself for the sake of her daughter, and she persisted and she believed the best because she loved her child more than her pet beliefs, her doctrine, her reputation. She loved her child so much she would sacrifice it all to set her child free. This super mum wanted to set it free at any cost. So she said in effect, "Look, Jesus, you're right. I'm just a little puppy. I'm sitting under the table. But I notice sometimes crumbs fall down. Won't you let me have some of the crumbs? Just give me a crumb. Just hear me and give me a crumb. And, you know, just do this one little thing for me. Set my daughter free. Just one little thing, please, Lord. Just one." So some of you mums here have prayed for years for your children and seen little results. Sometimes it's really discouraging because you pray for them when they're kids and they grow up and they become adults and they start doing stuff that you don't agree with and they start messing up their lives, some of them, and you keep loving them and you keep praying for them and nothing has happened. But maybe you need to persist. You see, maybe they're lost in a bad relationship. Maybe they're lost in substance abuse. Maybe they're good people. Maybe they're nice people, but they're not walking with God because they've just chosen the things of the world over the things of God. Whatever they've done, whatever they're doing, I'm telling you, don't give up on them. Persist with them. Don't give up in despair because your superpower, mums, should be faith. And faith doesn't give up. You can ultimately win, you yourself cannot win someone to Jesus. Right? You can pray, you can speak the words of God, you can do it, but you can't win them to Christ. Why? Because He wins them to Christ. The Holy Spirit is what moves people's hearts and wins people to Christ. You've just got to proclaim it and leave the results with Him. You can pray, you can trust God and use your superpower of faith to bring your kids to Him. Remember Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast." See, Christian mums here today, you know you don't win your children. Don't take it personally. If your kids don't want to choose Jesus, it's not your fault. When they're young, yes, you can control how their life is going. As they get older, how many of you know, you lose control. They start making their own decisions. And some of them are the stupidest decisions ever. And you know that. But it's not your fault because there comes a point where they say, "You know what? I'm going to make my decision. I don't care what you say, Mum." Isaiah 10 verse 27 says that the anointing breaks the yoke. And for many of you, this leads you to pray for your kids because you can't break the yoke. Only the anointing, the presence of God can break the yoke. And it doesn't matter if your kids are corporate CEOs or cellar-dwelling drug addicts. It doesn't matter what they're doing with their life. It's only God that can break the yoke. It's only God that can bring them to Him. So your superpower, Mum, is the faith that God stirs up in your heart. And the closer you are to God, the greater this faith is within you. So if you're a mum and you're praying for your kids, my advice to you is get close to God. Get really close to Him. Read His word every day. Pray. You know, attend Bible study. Attend church. Listen to worship music. And never, never, never give up on your kids, your grandkids, or your husbands or exes or whatever it is that's in your life. I can't change them, you can't change them, but God can change them, so you must persist. And the final thing is this, a mother's faith was rewarded. You see, Jesus was so delighted with her answer. He said, "This is amazing." He commended her. He said in verse 28, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. You see, Jesus commended this lady for her faith. He said, "You've done a super job. Thank you so much for your faith." He was really impressed. While unbelieving children, the Jews, were busy arguing with each other, they had no hunger for the bread, but she's under the table saying, "Give me a little bit. Just give me a little bit." This super mum's super faith was rewarded and her daughter was healed. Now, it's interesting that Jesus never complimented the religious leaders and even the disciples saying, "Great is your faith," but He complimented this Gentile despised woman saying, "Great is your faith." And that, mums, is my challenge to you today. Whatever you are believing for with your family, with your partners, with your children, your grandchildren, I believe that today you can stand and believe. And we want to stand with you because today is your day, super mums. See, on Mother's Day, we're going to pray in a few moments for your children and for your grandchildren. And if you are in church today just to make your mum happy, and there may be a few, if mum said, look, it's Mother's Day, why don't you come to church and go, oh, right, I'll put up with this boring, you know, church thing just to get you off my back. If that's you today, I want to challenge you today. Why don't you make your mum really happy? Why don't you give her the best Mother's Day present and give your heart to Jesus? You won't get a better present than that. This will be the Mother's Day she remembers when you said, Lord, yes. I'm throwing it out there because I believe God is challenging you this morning to give your heart to the Lord right now. So let me finish with this. The greatest gift of all. Now, mums, I don't know what you got today. You might have got breakfast in bed. You might have got lovely presents. You might have got something cute, something special. You might have got a phone call from one of your kids who telling you that you're loved on Mother's Day. All of those gifts are precious, but they don't last into eternity. They don't. The greatest gift, kids, that you could ever give your mum this Mother's Day is to give your heart to Jesus. That's the greatest gift. That's what will bless her more than anything. She's been praying for you. She's been using her superpowers of faith and love because she wants you to join her in heaven. See, when you give your heart to Jesus, it's not a moment's decision. It's not about what will happen in the next week and the next month, because suddenly eternity is open for you. The decisions, you can't choose where you spend eternity. You know, you haven't got heaven and hell and I'll choose heaven because hell doesn't look very good. Or you can't choose that. You can choose to accept Jesus or not. And based on that decision, the other decision is made automatically for you. You can't say, I want to reject Jesus, don't want any of that Christian stuff, but I want to go to heaven. That doesn't work. You can't choose heaven. You can choose Jesus and you get heaven as part of the deal. Now, in a moment, I'm going to ask mums to stand and we're going to pray for your children and we're going to join our faith together and believe for God to reward your superpower of faith today. We've been praying for our nation all week, but it's time that we pray for our children and our families, isn't it? And also for partners, if you've got a husband or wife who's not walking with the Lord, let's pray for them. If you've got parents who are not walking with the Lord, let's pray for them. Now, you might have been fighting for them in prayer for years, but I'm going to ask you to stand for them in faith right here, right now, and that together as a church we can stand and believe that we will see salvation in your household. Anyone with me? You know, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we don't just want people to come to Christ. We want whole households to come to Christ and serve Jesus, the whole family. So would you bow your heads in prayer for a moment?